Private equity floods pain management as opioid era ends, creating defensive plays. And number 10,022, takeaways by Plaquemium AI Hyde and number 9,650, at least three private equity firms, Charterhouse Capital, Iron Path, and Revelar Capital, are actively deploying capital into pain management platforms sized in the $50 million to $200 million enterprise value range. Pain management platforms typically command EBITDA multiples of 9x to 12x for scaled operations, reflecting predictable cash flows from an estimated 50 million U.S. adults with chronic pain. Tennessee became the second U.S. state to ban PBMs from owning pharmacies effective January 1, 2027, after spending over $7 million in opposition efforts, creating regulatory tailwinds for vertically integrated pain management platforms that control the full episode of care. A wave of private equity capital is flowing into pain management platforms, with at least three named firms deploying capital across platform acquisitions and add-ons in a sector that combines defensive revenue characteristics with regulatory tailwinds. Charterhouse Capital, Iron Path, and Revelar Capital are among the sponsors making recent moves in a specialty that offers recession-resistant patient volumes and expanding reimbursement pathways. The timing is no accident. Pain management sits at the intersection of three investment themes driving healthcare mergers and acquisitions in 2026: the aging demographic wave, the shift from opioid to interventional treatment protocols, and the growing acceptance of outpatient procedural models. With hospital systems shedding non-core assets and independent physician practices seeking liquidity, sponsors see consolidation runway and margin expansion opportunity. Details on individual transaction values were not disclosed, but the cluster of activity from middle market firms points to platforms sized in the $50 million U.S. to $200 million U.S. enterprise value range based on historical sector comparables. The pain management specialty typically commands EBITDA multiples in the 9x to 12x range for scaled platforms, reflecting predictable cash flows and defensible referral networks. Why this matters beyond the immediate deals: pain management consolidation is occurring against a backdrop of unprecedented scrutiny on pharmacy benefit managers and pharmaceutical pricing. Tennessee just became the second U.S. state to ban PBMs from owning pharmacies, effective January 1, 2027, following an aggressive lobbying campaign that reportedly saw PBMs and allies deploy more than 60 lobbyists and spend over $7 million U.S. to oppose the legislation. CVS Health, which operates both retail pharmacy locations and PBM Caremark, warned that the Tennessee law could force closure of all 134 of its in-state pharmacies, eliminating roughly 2,000 jobs. A 2024 audit from the Tennessee Department of Commerce and Insurance had found CVS Caremark used spread pricing, charging health plans more for medications than pharmacies were reimbursed. This regulatory fragmentation creates opportunity for vertically integrated pain management platforms that control the full episode of care, from diagnosis through procedure and post-acute follow-up, without reliance on third-party PBM economics. Sponsors building these platforms can capture margin at multiple points in the care pathway while positioning for value-based reimbursement models that reward outcomes over volume. The defensive appeal of pain management practices generate revenue from three primary streams: initial consultation and diagnostics, interventional procedures including injections and nerve ablations, and ongoing medication management. The procedural component is key to sponsor interest. These are outpatient services performed in ambulatory surgery centers or office-based labs, with reimbursement rates that have held steady even as other specialties face pressure. Patient volumes show limited cyclicality. Chronic pain affects an estimated 50 million U.S. adults, a figure that rises with age. The demographic tailwind is structural. The 65-plus cohort is growing at roughly 10,000 people per day through 2030. Unlike elective procedures that patients defer in economic downturns, pain management addresses quality of life issues that drive consistent utilization. The regulatory environment has shifted in favor of interventional approaches. As opioid prescribing faces tighter restrictions, payers increasingly prefer non-pharmacologic treatments. Interventional pain procedures, particularly minimally invasive options, align with this preference. Medicare and commercial payers have expanded coverage for nerve blocks, radiofrequency ablation, and spinal cord stimulation, creating reimbursement stability that underwrites sponsor underwriting models. The pharma context: pay for delay and margin pressure. The broader pharmaceutical landscape is experiencing margin compression from multiple angles, creating contrast with the economics of procedural specialties. Takeda Pharmaceutical this week faces a nearly $885 million jury verdict in a pay-for-delay antitrust case brought by pharmacies and wholesalers over the gastrointestinal drug Amitiza. Under federal antitrust law, damages are automatically tripled, potentially putting Takeda on the hook for more than $2.6 billion U.S. once final judgment is entered. The case centers on a 2014 settlement between Takeda and generic manufacturer Par Pharmaceutical, where Takeda made reverse payments to Par in exchange for keeping generic competition off the market until 2021. Plaintiffs argued the relevant patent for lubiprostone, Amitiza's active ingredient, expired in 2014, and that later expiring patents were weak and easily designed around. Takeda counters that its settlement permitted Par's authorized generic to launch in 2021, 6 years before Amitiza's patents expired and 17 months before Par's abbreviated new drug application was approved. Takeda has vowed to appeal, citing evidentiary and legal errors. This verdict, one of the largest recent pharmaceutical antitrust awards, signals heightened litigation risk for branded manufacturers using settlement agreements to manage generic entry. For private equity investors, the implication is clear: asset-light, procedure-based models carry lower regulatory and litigation exposure than molecule-dependent businesses. The Tennessee PBM legislation adds another data point. Governor Bill Lee signed the Freedom, Access and Integrity in Registered Pharmacy Act into law despite the lobbying blitz, giving affected companies until January 1, 2027 to divest or restructure. This follows similar action in another state, suggesting regulatory momentum that could reshape pharmacy economics across multiple jurisdictions. The roll-up playbook, platform, add-ons, tuck-ins, the five deals referenced by Private Equity Hub follow a well-worn sector consolidation playbook. Sponsors typically acquire a founder-led platform with $5 million US to $15 million US in EBITDA, then execute a series of add-on acquisitions to build density and target geographies. Pain management lends itself to this model because practices remain highly fragmented. Most are single-location or small-group practices with limited payer negotiating leverage and no professional management infrastructure. The value creation thesis rests on multiple levers. First, revenue cycle optimization. Independent practices often leave 10% to 15% of potential reimbursement on the table through coding errors, incomplete documentation, and failure to appeal denials. Platform investment in certified coders and revenue cycle software can drive immediate EBITDA lift. Second, payer contract renegotiation. A platform with 20 locations and 50 providers commands materially better rates than a three-physician practice. Third, ancillary service attachment. Adding physical therapy, behavioral health, and durable medical equipment sales within the platform captures revenue that would otherwise leak to other providers. Fourth, real estate rationalization. Moving procedures from hospital outpatient departments to lower-cost ambulatory surgery centers or office-based labs improves contribution margin per case. The typical hold period is 4 to 6 years, with exit to a larger healthcare services platform or strategic buyer. Recent exits in adjacent specialties suggest continued multiple expansion. Orthopedic and ophthalmology platforms have traded at 11x to 14x EBITDA in the past 18 months, reflecting strategic appetite from national operators and healthcare rights seeking yield-generating assets. European capital meets U.S. healthcare assets. Charterhouse Capital's involvement is notable. The London-headquartered firm, with approximately $6 billion U.S. in assets under management, has historically focused on European mid-market opportunities. Its participation in U.S. pain management signals two trends: European sponsors seeking diversification from slower growth domestic markets, and the global perception of U.S. healthcare services as a defensive asset class with inflation-resistant pricing power. Cross-border capital flows into U.S. healthcare have accelerated as European pension funds and sovereign wealth vehicles increase alternative asset allocations. The dollar-denominated cash flows, relative insulation from geopolitical risk, and structural growth drivers make healthcare services attractive to foreign institutional capital. Pain management, with its procedural focus and limited exposure to pharmaceutical price controls, fits this mandate. The contrast with European healthcare investment is stark. While firms like Avista and Damier Group, the family office of Belgian serial entrepreneur Yvan Vindevogel, pursue vitamins company Sanitact in the consumer health space, supporting Source, the risk-return profile differs materially. Consumer health faces direct-to-consumer marketing costs, retail channel concentration, and private label competition. Pain management platforms, by contrast, benefit from physician referral networks that are difficult for new entrants to replicate and procedure codes that insurers cannot easily commoditize. The Plaquemine view: the pain management consolidation wave represents a second-order bet on regulatory and reimbursement trends that extend beyond the specialty itself. Sponsors are positioning for a healthcare delivery model where integrated providers capture value that currently leaks to intermediaries, PBMs, hospital systems with monopoly pricing power, and pharmaceutical manufacturers extracting rent through patent extension strategies. The Tennessee PBM ban is the canary. If even a handful of additional states follow suit, the vertically integrated pharmacy model that CVS Health and others have built faces existential restructuring. That creates opportunity for specialty providers who can demonstrate better outcomes at lower total cost of care, without the conflicts inherent in owning both the formulary decision-making apparatus and the dispensing infrastructure. Pain management platforms, particularly those that build ambulatory surgery center capacity and employ physicians rather than contracting with independent practitioners, can offer payers a transparent alternative. Fixed episode pricing, bundled payment arrangements, and quality metrics tied to functional improvement rather than procedure volume. This aligns with Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services payment model experiments and commercial payer interest in steering high-cost claimants to centers of excellence. The Takeda verdict reinforces this thesis. A $2.6 billion potential liability for delaying generic competition by 7 years demonstrates the financial and reputational risk of competing on patent extension rather than clinical value. Procedure-based specialties compete on clinical outcomes, patient satisfaction, and cost efficiency, metrics that align with where healthcare reimbursement is headed rather than where it has been. Our base case, pain management exits in the 2028 to 2030 window will reflect not just the EBITDA growth from platform consolidation, but multiple expansion driven by strategic buyer appetite for assets positioned on the right side of value-based care transition. The firms moving now are buying at mid-cycle multiples for assets that could trade at premium valuations if regulatory pressure on PBMs and pharmaceutical manufacturers continues to intensify. The bottom line: 5 pain management deals from Charterhouse, IronPath, and Revelar signal sponsor conviction in a specialty that combines demographic tailwinds with regulatory alignment. As Tennessee becomes the second state to ban PBM pharmacy vertical integration, and Takeda faces potential $2.6 billion liability for pay for delay tactics, the investment case for transparent, procedure-based care delivery strengthens. Institutional capital should track not just platform revenue growth, but payer willingness to steer volume through narrow networks and bundled payment arrangements. The sponsors building pain management platforms today are assembling the preferred provider infrastructure for a healthcare system that increasingly rewards outcomes over access to patented molecules or captive pharmacy channels. Watch for exit multiples in the 12x to 15x range if these platforms can demonstrate 200 to 300 basis points of annual margin expansion while growing patient volumes at mid-single-digit rates. The consolidation runway extends at least 5 years.